Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
A Werewolf Romance, written by Lillian Gerard. Prologue. The girl who loved wrong. I was 6 years old the first time I understood what hatred looked like. It was carved into my father's face as he stood over the body of a shadow-crest wolf in our town square. Blood pooled on the cobblestones, dark, almost black in the afternoon sun. The dead wolf's eyes were still open, staring at nothing, and I remember thinking he looked young. Maybe 17. Maybe someone's son. "This is what happens," my father said, his voice carrying across the silent crowd of Nightfall Pack members. "When Shadowcrest filth crosses into our territory, this is what happens when they forget their place." Everyone cheered. Everyone except me. I looked at that boy's face and felt something crack open inside my chest. Something that knew, even at 6 years old, that this wasn't right. That hatred, this deep, this old, this passed down through generations like a family heirloom, was a poison we were all drinking willingly. My name is Juliet Nightfall, daughter of Alpha Herald Nightfall, heir to a pack built on blood feuds and ancient rage. And this is the story of how I fell in love with the one person I was born to hate. How that love destroyed everything, and how, maybe, it saved everything too. Chapter 1. The Weight of Legacy. Age 6. "Again," my father commanded. My small fists were already bloody from hitting the training dummy. My knuckles were split, my arms shaking with exhaustion. But I raised them again because you didn't disobey Alpha Herald Nightfall. Not even if you were his daughter. Especially if you were his daughter. Harder, Juliet. A Shadowcrest wolf won't go easy on you because you're a child. They'll rip your throat out the moment you show weakness. I hit the dummy again, and again, and again. "Why do we hate them?" I asked between strikes, my voice small. The slap came so fast I didn't see it. I was on the ground, my cheek burning, tears blurring my vision. "We don't ask why," my father said, standing over me like a mountain of fury. "We don't question centuries of blood debt. The Shadowcrest Pack murdered your great-great-grandfather. They slaughtered 12 of our elders during the treaty talks. They are animals who deserve nothing but death. And you..." He grabbed my chin, forcing me to look at him. "You will lead this pack one day. You will carry our hatred forward. You will make them pay. Do you understand?" "Yes, father," I whispered. But I didn't understand. I didn't understand why a man who died before I was born meant I had to hate people I'd never met. I didn't understand why a war that started over a territorial dispute over a century ago meant children had to train to kill each other. I didn't understand any of it. But I learned to pretend I did. Age 8. My mother tried to make me softer when my father wasn't watching. She would brush my hair at night and tell me stories about the old days, before the feud, when Nightfall and Shadowcrest wolves had been allies. When they'd hunted together, celebrated together, even mated across pack lines sometimes. "What happened?" I asked one night, leaning into her gentle hands. "Pride," she said softly. "And fear. Your great-great-grandfather and the Shadowcrest Alpha both wanted the same territory. Both believed they had a rightful claim. They couldn't compromise, couldn't share, couldn't see past their own certainty. So they fought. And when blood is spilled, Juliet, it demands more blood. That's how feuds begin. One death leads to revenge, Revenge leads to retaliation. Retaliation leads to war. And war becomes tradition. Can't someone just stop? She was quiet for a long moment. The wolf who stops first is called a coward, a betrayer. They'd be exiled from their own pack for showing mercy to the enemy. So everyone keeps fighting because stopping is more dangerous than continuing. That's stupid, I said. She laughed, a sad, tired sound. Yes, darling, it is. But stupid things can still kill you. 2 months later, she was dead. A Shadow Crest raiding party hit our border patrol. My mother had been visiting the healers near the territory line. She wasn't even armed. Just in the wrong place at the wrong time when violence erupted. They brought her body back at dawn. My father howled for 3 days straight. Then he went silent. The kind of silent that's more terrifying than rage. And I learned that love makes grief. Grief makes hatred. And hatred makes monsters of us all. Age 10. I stopped asking questions. I trained harder than any wolf in my age group. I learned to fight, to track, to kill without hesitation. I memorized the names of every Nightfall wolf murdered by Shadowcrest hands. I recited them like prayers. My father finally looked at me with approval. "That's my girl," he'd say, watching me take down opponents twice my size in the training ring. "That's my heir." But at night, alone in my room, I'd look at the locket my mother gave me before she died. Inside was a picture of her smiling, and a small inscription, "Love is braver than hate." I didn't know what that meant. I wouldn't know for years. Age 14. My wolf came during the first full moon after my 14th birthday. The shift was agony. Bones breaking and reforming, skin tearing as fur erupted, every nerve ending on fire. They told me it would hurt. They didn't tell me it would feel like dying. When I finally stood on 4 legs instead of 2, everything was different. Sharper. Clearer. More. I could smell individual wolves from miles away. Could hear heartbeats through walls. Could feel the pack bonds like threads of light connecting us all together. And I could feel something else. Something wrong. The pack bonds felt heavy. Diseased. Like wounds that had festered for so long, they'd become part of our flesh. "How does it feel?" my father asked, shifted into his own massive black wolf form beside me. "It feels like we're sick," I wanted to say. "Like we're carrying poison in our bones." But I just nodded and followed him on my first hunt as a wolf. We killed a rogue that night. A Shadowcrest exile who'd ventured too close to our borders. My father tore out his throat while the rest of the pack watched. "This is who you are," he told me afterward, blood still staining his muzzle. "This is what you were born for." I believed him because I didn't know any other truth. Age 16. The nightmares started the year I turned 16. I'd dream about the wolves we'd killed, see their faces, hear their last words, feel their fear as they died. In my dreams, they weren't enemies. They were just people, scared, desperate. Trying to survive in a world that had decided their death was necessary. I woke up screaming more nights than I didn't. "You're too soft," my father said when I appeared at breakfast with dark circles under my eyes. "Your mother's weakness is showing through." "Don't talk about her like that," I snapped before I could stop myself. The backhand sent me sprawling across the floor. "You will be strong," he said coldly. "You will be hard. You will lead this pack to victory over the Shadowcrest scum. Or you will die trying. Those are your only options, Juliet. Choose." I chose silence, but inside something was breaking. Or maybe something was finally waking up. Age 17. I was 17 when everything changed. It was the first day of spring, and the treaty town of Fairhill was bustling with the seasonal market. Treaty towns existed in the neutral zone between pack territories, places where wolves from different packs could trade, interact, and pretend to be civilized for a few hours. My father hated them. Weakness, he called them, pretending we're friends with our enemies. But even he couldn't deny we needed supplies the neutral traders brought. So twice a year, he sent a small group to Fairhill to trade. This year, he'd sent me to lead them. "Don't speak to any Shadowcrest wolves," he'd commanded. "Don't even look at them. You're there to trade and leave. Nothing more." I'd nodded obediently. I'd lied. The market was crowded and colorful, a sharp contrast to the gray stone and dark leather of pack life. I wandered through stalls selling herbs and weapons and cloth, my escort of three Nightfall warriors trailing behind me like overprotective shadows. That's when I smelled him. Cedarwood and night air. Wild and clean and absolutely intoxicating. I turned, searching for the source, and saw him across the market square. He was beautiful. Tall, maybe 18 or 19, with dark hair that fell into eyes the color of amber. He wore simple clothes, nothing marking him as anyone important, but he moved with a grace that said predator. That said wolf. Our eyes met, and the world stopped. I felt it like a physical thing, a snap in my chest, a thread of golden light connecting us across the crowded square. Warmth flooded through me, followed immediately by recognition so deep. It felt like remembering instead of meeting. Mate. The word whispered through my mind, through my wolf, through every cell of my body. Mine. I saw the same recognition flash across his face, saw him freeze mid-step, his expression shifting from surprise to wonder, to horror in the space of a heartbeat. Because he could smell what pack I was from. And I could smell what pack he was from. Shadowcrest. My mate, my true mate, the one person in the entire world the Moon Goddess had chosen specifically for me, was a Shadowcrest wolf. The enemy. The one thing I was born to hate. The one person I could never have. I should have walked away. Should have turned around, rejoined my escort, and left Fairhill without looking back. That's what a good daughter would do. What a good heir would do. But I'd spent 17 years being good. Being obedient. Being what everyone else needed me to be. And something inside me, something that had been locked away since I was 6 years old and saw a dead boy's eyes in the town square, refused to walk away from this. From him. So I did the stupidest thing I'd ever done. I smiled and started walking toward him. Chapter 2, First Words. He met me halfway, moving through the crowd like he couldn't help himself. Like the same invisible thread pulling me forward was pulling him too. We stopped 3 feet apart, close enough to touch. Too far to be satisfied. Up close, he was even more devastating. Those amber eyes held warmth and intelligence and something guarded, like he'd learned to be careful with trust. His scent wrapped around me like a blanket, and my wolf was practically purring. "Ours," she whispered. "Ours. Ours. Ours." "You're," he started. "Juliet," I said quickly, cutting off whatever pack identification he'd been about to give. If we didn't acknowledge it out loud, maybe we could pretend for 5 minutes that we were just two people. Just two wolves who'd found their mate. "Romeo," he said, understanding immediately. "Just Romeo." "Just Romeo," I agreed and smiled. He smiled back and my heart forgot how to beat. "I should walk away," he said quietly, his eyes never leaving mine. Probably, I agreed. I should too. Neither of us moved. This is insane, he said. Completely. We can't. This can't. I know. Silence stretched between us. The market bustled around us, oblivious to the small disaster unfolding in its center. Finally, Romeo said, 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes where we're not Nightfall and Shadow Crest. Where we're just... us. Then I'll walk away. Then you'll be safe. Then you'll be safe. Not then we'll be safe. Then you'll be safe. He was already trying to protect me from the consequences of this meeting. From his own pack's reaction. From mine. And that's when I knew, really knew, that I was in trouble. Because a person who tries to protect you even when meeting you could get him killed? That's not just a mate bond. That's a good person. And I'd been taught my entire life that Shadowcrest wolves weren't good people. 5 minutes, I agreed, my voice barely above a whisper. We found a quiet corner behind a fabric merchant's stall. My escort was busy negotiating for weapons across the square. I had maybe 10 minutes before they'd notice my absence. 10 minutes to do something monumentally stupid. Tell me something true, Romeo said, leaning against the wall, his eyes still locked on mine, like looking away might make me disappear. Something that has nothing to do with packs or feuds, or who we're supposed to be. Something true. I thought about all the truths I'd been carrying, all the weights I'd been taught to bear. I hate fighting, I said finally. The words felt like treason. I'm good at it. Really good. But I hate it. Every time I train, every time I'm in the ring, I feel like I'm becoming someone I don't want to be. Someone hard. Someone cruel. Someone who can kill without feeling it. I looked down at my hands, small, calloused from years of weapons training. These hands have hurt people. And everyone tells me that's good. That's strength. But it doesn't feel strong. It feels like losing myself piece by piece. When I looked up, Romeo's expression was intense, raw. I dream about the wolves we've killed, he said quietly. Every single one. I see their faces, and in my dreams they're not enemies. They're just scared, just trying to survive. Just people who happen to be born into the wrong pack. He swallowed hard. My father calls me weak for having nightmares. Says a true warrior doesn't mourn his enemies. Mine says the same thing. Do you believe him? No, I said, and felt something unlock in my chest with that admission. No, I think refusing to mourn makes us monsters. I think feeling guilty about killing means we're still human. Still worth saving. Still worth saving, Romeo repeated softly. Then, gods, you're beautiful. Heat flooded my face. You can't, we can't. I know we can't. But I'm standing here with my mate, my actual moon goddess chosen, once-in-a-lifetime mate, and she's everything I never knew I needed, and I'm supposed to walk away and never see her again because of a feud that started before we were born. His voice cracked. So, let me have this. Let me tell you that you're beautiful and brave, and the fact that you hate violence means you're exactly who should be leading warriors, because you'll never send them to die for stupid reasons. Tears burned my eyes. Romeo, tell me something else true, he said urgently. Please, before we run out of time. What else was true? I don't want to be alpha, I admitted. I never have. I don't want to lead wolves into battle. I don't want to carry on feuds I don't believe in. I don't want to spend my life hating people I've never met because I'm supposed to. I stepped closer to him, drawn by a force I couldn't resist. I want to heal things instead of breaking them. I want to build instead of destroy. I stopped, because what I wanted was impossible. You want what? Romeo asked gently. I want to choose my own life, I whispered. Just once. I want to make one choice that's mine. Not my father's. Not the pack's. Not tradition's. Mine. Romeo reached out slowly, giving me time to pull away, and tucked a strand of hair behind my ear. The touch was electric. Gentle. Perfect. Then choose this, he said. Choose to meet me again. Choose to give us a chance. Even if it's secret. Even if it's dangerous. Even if it's insane. Choose us. I should have said no. Should have been smart. Been safe. Been good. But I'd been good my entire life. And it had never made me happy. So I looked at this impossible boy. This enemy. This mate. This person who saw me instead of what I was supposed to be. And I made my choice. Tomorrow, I said. There's an old oak tree at the border between territories. The twisted one that's split by lightning. I can get there at midnight without being seen. That's insanely dangerous. I know. If we're caught, I know. We could both die. I know. I met his eyes. But I'd rather risk death than spend the rest of my life wondering what this could have been. Wondering if I was brave enough to choose myself just once. Romeo's smile was bright enough to hurt. Tomorrow, then. Midnight. Tomorrow. Juliet, one of my escorts was calling, voice sharp with concern. They'd noticed my absence. Romeo and I stepped apart like we'd been burned. Go, he said, before they see us together. I nodded and turned to leave. Juliet, he called softly. I looked back. You're already braver than you think. Then he disappeared into the crowd, and I was left with my racing heart, and my terrible decision, and the certain knowledge that I'd just changed my life forever. I just didn't know how much. Chapter 3. Midnight Meetings. The twisted oak stood at the exact border between Nightfall and Shadowcrest territories. A massive, gnarled thing that had been struck by lightning years ago and split straight down the middle. Half the tree was dead. Half was alive. But somehow it kept growing, refusing to fall despite being broken. I understood the feeling. I'd told my father I needed to run, to let my wolf out, to clear my head. He'd approved because physical training was always approved. As long as I was becoming a better fighter, a better warrior, a better killer, he was happy. He had no idea I was running toward something instead of away from it. Toward someone. I reached the oak at 11:45. Early. Too anxious to wait. My wolf was going insane, pacing inside my head, whining, desperate to be closer to our mate. She didn't care about feuds or danger. Or the fact that what I was doing could get us both killed. She only cared that our mate was close, and we needed to be closer. Patience, I told her. Ours, she responded stubbornly. Need. Now. At 11:58, I smelled cedarwood and night air. At 11:59, Romeo stepped out of the shadows on the Shadowcrest side of the tree. At midnight, exactly, we met in the middle. For a long moment, we just stared at each other, taking it in. The impossible reality of this. You came, he said. Did you think I wouldn't? I hoped. But hoping and believing are different things. He took a step closer. I've been thinking about you all day, trying to figure out if yesterday was real or if I imagined the whole thing. I've been doing the same thing. I admitted, kept touching my chest to make sure I could still feel the mate bond, making sure it wasn't some fever dream. Can you feel it now? Yes, it's like a thread of light connecting us. Gets stronger the closer you are. For me too. Romeo reached out and I met him halfway, our fingers interlacing. The touch sent warmth flooding through me, and my wolf practically purred. This is real, Juliet. This is happening. This is insane, I corrected, but I was smiling. We're both insane. Probably. He pulled me closer until we were inches apart. But I don't care. I'd rather be insane with you than sane without you. We stood there in the shadow of the split oak tree, holding hands like it was the most natural thing in the world. Like we weren't from families that had been killing each other for 70 years. Like loving each other wasn't the most dangerous thing either of us had ever done. Tell me about you, I said. The real you. Not the pack heir or the alpha's son or whatever role you're supposed to play. The actual Romeo. He was quiet for a moment, thinking. I want to be a healer, he said finally. I'm good at fighting. I have to be, same as you. But what I really love is healing. Learning about herbs and medicines, and how to put people back together instead of tearing them apart. He laughed softly. My father hates it. Says healing is for omegas and weaklings. Says the Alpha's son should be focused on battle strategy and killing techniques, not playing nurse. That's ridiculous, I said fiercely. Healers keep packs alive. They're essential. And choosing to heal when you could destroy is the bravest thing someone can do. Romeo's smile was soft, grateful. Thank you for saying that. No one's ever... He stopped. Everyone in my pack thinks I'm strange for wanting this. Weak for preferring life over death. You're not weak. You're humane. There's a difference. What about you? He asked. What does Juliet want? Besides not being alpha? I thought about it. Realized I'd never really let myself want things beyond surviving each day. I want to travel, I said slowly. I want to see the world beyond our territories. Meet wolves who aren't at war. Learn about different packs, different cultures, different ways of living. I looked up at the stars through the oak's branches. I want to understand how other wolves love each other without violence. How they resolve conflicts without blood. If there's a way to be strong without being cruel. We could do that, Romeo said quietly. Together, we could leave. Both packs. Start over somewhere far away, where no one knows our names, or our families, or our histories. The fantasy was beautiful. Intoxicating. They'd hunt us down, I said. Our fathers would never stop looking. Running away would just mean dying slower. Then what do we do? I didn't have an answer. We stood there in silence, holding on to each other like we could somehow stop the world from tearing us apart if we just held tight enough. Finally, Romeo said, "Tell me about your mother, the one who gave you that locket." I touched the locket reflexively. "How did you know about this?" The chain caught the light when you moved. It's beautiful. I pulled out the locket, opened it to show him my mother's picture and the inscription. Love is braver than hate. Romeo read it aloud, his voice soft with wonder. Your mother was wise. She was killed by Shadowcrest wolves, I said, watching for his reaction, testing him. He flinched but didn't let go of my hand. I'm sorry. Truly. The wolves who killed her were wrong. What they did was murder, not war. She was at a healing camp, wasn't even armed. Then they were monsters, Romeo said flatly. And I'm ashamed they wore my pack's colors. But Juliet, he met my eyes. Those wolves don't represent all of Shadowcrest. The same way the Nightfall wolves who've committed atrocities don't represent all of you. There are good people and bad people in every pack. The feud just gives the bad ones an excuse. I knew he was right. Had known it since I was 6 years old watching that dead boy's eyes stare at nothing. But hearing it said out loud having someone agree that the feud was wrong instead of insisting it was necessary, felt like permission to believe my own truth. What if we could end it? I asked suddenly, the idea forming as I spoke. The feud. What if we could actually stop it? Romeo's expression was careful. How? I don't know yet. But think about it. If the alpha heirs of both packs were mated to each other, if we loved each other, wouldn't that change things? Couldn't we prove that Nightfall and Shadowcrest don't have to be enemies? Or we'd both be killed for betraying our packs, Romeo said gently. Juliet, I love your optimism, but our fathers have built their entire identities on this hatred. They've sacrificed too much, lost too much, killed too much to back down now. Admitting the feud could end would mean admitting all that death was pointless, and people rarely choose truth over comfort. He was right. I knew he was right, but I couldn't accept it. Then we'll find another way, I said stubbornly. We'll be careful. We'll meet in secret until we figure out how to make them understand. We'll, Juliet. Romeo cupped my face in his hands, his touch gentle. I want that too, more than anything. But we need to be realistic about the danger. If anyone finds out about us, we die. Maybe quickly, if we're lucky. Maybe after torture, if we're not. And I... His voice cracked. I couldn't survive watching them hurt you, knowing I was the reason. Then we'll be careful, I insisted. We'll meet here. Midnight. Every night we can manage safely. And we'll figure this out together because I refuse to believe the Moon Goddess would give me a mate just to watch him die. Romeo's smile was sad and beautiful at once. You're so stubborn. You're just realizing this now? No, I knew yesterday. It's one of the things I love about you. The word hung between us. Love. It was too soon. We'd known each other for barely 2 days. But the mate bond didn't care about timing. It just was. I love you too, I whispered. I know that's insane, but I do. Then we're both insane. Romeo pulled me close, wrapping me in his arms, and I felt safer than I'd ever felt in my life. And we'll figure this out. Somehow. Together. We stayed like that until the first light of dawn started creeping across the sky. Then we separated reluctantly, painfully, already counting the hours until midnight came again. Chapter 4. The double life days became weeks. Weeks became months. Every night I could manage it, I'd slip away to the Twisted Oak. And every night Romeo would be there waiting. We'd talk for hours, about everything and nothing, our childhoods, our fears, our dreams. The things we'd never told anyone else because showing vulnerability meant weakness in our packs. With each other, we could be vulnerable. Be real. Be soft. Romeo told me about his mother, gentle and kind, who died from grief after losing 2 sons to the feud. How he blamed himself for not being able to heal her heartbreak. I told him about the nightmares, about feeling like I was drowning in expectations I'd never chosen, about the guilt of being good at violence when violence felt wrong. We healed each other slowly, piece by piece, conversation by conversation, and we fell deeper in love. But living a double life takes a toll. During the day, I was Juliet Nightfall, perfect heir, obedient daughter, ruthless warrior. I trained harder than anyone, fought better than anyone, recited the names of murdered Nightfall wolves like prayers, made my father proud. But at night, I was just Juliet, the girl who loved a Shadowcrest wolf, the girl who believed love was braver than hate. The contradiction was breaking me. You look tired, my father observed one morning during training. Are you sleeping? Yes, sir, I lied. Good. Because the spring trials are coming. You'll be competing against the other heirs for pack champion. I expect you to win. The spring trials, a brutal competition where young wolves fought for rank and honor. Winners got respect. Losers got scars and shame. I'd won the last 2 years. I'd win this year too, because losing wasn't an option for an alpha's daughter. I have to compete in the spring trials, I told Romeo that night at the Oak. His expression darkened. Shadowcrest is hosting them this year. I'm competing too. My heart sank. Will we have to fight each other? Not unless we both make it to the finals. And even then, he pulled me close. I can't fight you, Juliet. I physically cannot hurt you. My wolf would rather die. Mine too. I buried my face in his chest. But if we refuse to fight, everyone will want to know why. They'll figure it out. Then we'll have to make sure we don't both make it to the finals. You mean one of us has to lose on purpose? Romeo nodded. I'll do it. I'll throw my match in the semifinals. Make it look like an injury. No one will question it. No. I pulled back to look at him. If you lose, your father will be furious. He's already disappointed in you for wanting to be a healer. If you lose the trials, he'll be angry. I can handle that. But you can't afford to lose, Juliet. Your father will see it as weakness, as failure. It'll undermine your position as heir. He was right. My father's expectations were absolute. Losing was betrayal. I hate this, I whispered. I hate that loving you means we have to lie and hide and pretend to be people we're not. I know. Romeo pressed his forehead to mine. But it's worth it. You're worth it. The spring trials arrived too fast. Shadowcrest territory was decorated for the event. Banners and fires and hundreds of wolves gathered from different packs to watch the competition. It was supposed to be a neutral event. A celebration of strength and skill. But everyone knew it was really about showing dominance. I arrived with my father and the Nightfall contingent. The moment we crossed into Shadowcrest lands, I felt the tension. Felt the hostile glares. Felt the weight of 70 years of bloodshed pressing down. Remember who you are, my father said quietly as we approached the arena. Remember what they've taken from us. And show them that Nightfall wolves are superior in every way. Yes, sir. I scanned the crowd, looking for Romeo. Found him standing with his father on the opposite side of the arena. Our eyes met for one brief moment. He mouthed, I love you. I nodded almost imperceptibly. Then we both turned away and became the people our packs expected us to be. The fights were brutal. I won my first match in under 5 minutes, dislocating my opponent's shoulder and forcing him to submit. The crowd cheered. My father nodded approval. I felt sick. Romeo won his match too. He was incredible, fast and precise and strong. But I could see the hesitation in his movements. The way he pulled his punches just enough to avoid serious injury. He was holding back because violence hurt him the same way it hurt me. After 3 rounds, we'd both made it to the semifinals. One more win each, and we'd face each other in the finals. One more win each, and everything would fall apart. Romeo's semi-final match was against a massive ironwood wolf named Harold. The guy had a reputation for being vicious. He didn't just win fights, he hospitalized his opponents. I watched from the stands, my heart in my throat as they circled each other in the arena. The fight started fast and stayed brutal. Harold was pure aggression, throwing Romeo around like a doll. But Romeo was smarter. He waited for openings, struck precisely, wore his opponent down. He could win this. I could see it. He was better than Harold in every way that mattered. But winning meant facing me in the finals. So in the 3rd round, when Harold charged, Romeo didn't dodge fast enough. The hit connected with his ribs, I heard the crack from across the arena. Romeo went down hard, gasping. The healer rushed over. Romeo waved her away, trying to stand, but his legs buckled. "The match goes to Harold of Ironwood Pack," the announcer declared. I watched Romeo being helped out of the arena, clutching his broken ribs, and I wanted to scream. He'd done that for me. Hurt himself to protect my secret. To protect us. And now I had to win the finals and act like I didn't care. I won. Destroyed Harold in the finals using every dirty trick my father had taught me. Made him submit. Made Nightfall Pack proud. Made my father smile for the first time in months. "That's my girl," he said, gripping my shoulder. "That's my heir." I smiled back and said thank you. And inside, I was dying. Because Romeo was somewhere getting his ribs healed, and I couldn't go to him. Couldn't comfort him. Couldn't thank him for sacrificing himself. I could only stand there holding my trophy and pretending to be happy while my mate suffered alone. That night, I snuck away to the Twisted Oak despite the risk. Romeo was already there, his ribs wrapped in bandages, his face pale with pain. "You shouldn't be here," he said. "You're injured. You need rest." "I needed to see you more." He pulled me close carefully. "Are you okay?" "No," I buried my face in his shoulder. "No, I'm not okay. You got hurt for me. You sacrificed your pride, your father's approval, everything, for me. And I couldn't even acknowledge it." "Juliet, this is wrong, Romeo. All of it. The hiding, the lying, the pretending to be enemies when we're supposed to be together. I can't keep living like this. It's killing me." "Then what do we do?" I pulled back to look at him. "We tell them."
"What?"
"We tell them the truth. About us. About the mate bond. About how the moon goddess herself chose us for each other despite the feud. We tell them and we make them understand." "They'll kill us," Romeo said flatly. "Maybe. But maybe they won't. Maybe if they see how much we love each other, if they see that their heirs, the next generation, refuse to continue this hatred, maybe it'll shock them into change.
Or maybe it'll just get us both killed slowly instead of quickly. I know it's a risk."
I took his hands. "But Romeo, I'd rather die trying to end this than spend my whole life lying about loving you, wouldn't you?" He was quiet for a long time. Finally, "When?" "The summer solstice. There's a peace gathering where both alphas will be present. We tell them together, in front of witnesses so they can't just disappear us quietly. That's 2 months away. I know. 2 more months of this double life. But then we're free. One way or another." Romeo pulled me close, careful of his injured ribs. "Okay. Summer solstice. We tell them together." "Together," I agreed, and sealed our fates with a kiss. Chapter 5. The Unraveling. I should have known we couldn't keep a secret that big for 2 more months. Should have known that love leaves traces. In the way you smile at nothing. The way you smell like someone else. The way your wolf paces restlessly when you're apart from your mate. Should have known someone would notice. Someone did. 6 weeks before the summer solstice, "You've been distracted," my father said during a private training session. His voice was casual. Too casual. "No, sir. Just focused on improving my technique." "Really?" He circled me slowly. "Because I've noticed you disappearing at night. Slipping away when you think no one's watching. Coming back smelling like the borderlands." My heart stopped. "I run at night sometimes. To clear my head."
"Do you?"
It wasn't a question. "And these runs always take you in the direction of Shadowcrest territory?" "Deny. Deflect. Lie. The territory border has the best terrain for... The backhand sent me sprawling. Don't insult my intelligence, Juliet. My father stood over me, his expression cold. I've been Alpha for 23 years. I know when someone's lying. I know when someone's hiding something. And I know... His voice dropped to something dangerous. When someone's been meeting with the enemy. Terror flooded through me. Father, Who is he? I stayed silent. Who is he? My father's alpha command crashed over me like a physical force. My wolf whimpered, desperate to submit, to obey, to tell him everything. I fought it with everything I had. A Shadowcrest wolf, I finally gasped out. But not what? Not your enemy? Not a threat? Not everything we've raised you to destroy? My father grabbed my collar, hauling me to my feet. Explain. Now. This wasn't how it was supposed to happen. We were supposed to tell them together. At the solstice, with witnesses and planning and a chance to make them understand. But I was out of time. He's my mate, I said. My true mate. The moon goddess chose him for me. The silence that followed was deafening. Then my father laughed, a cold, broken sound that held no humor. Your mate. The moon goddess gave you a Shadowcrest wolf as a mate. He released me, stepping back. This is punishment. This is what happens when I let your mother make you soft. When I didn't beat the weakness out of you thoroughly enough. It's not weakness to love. Love? He roared. You think this is love? You're a child playing at romance with the enemy. You're a fool who's been manipulated by a Shadowcrest spy. He's not a spy. He's good and kind, and he wants peace as much as I do. There is no peace. My father's wolf was rising, his eyes flashing gold. There is only winning or dying. And you. You've chosen to betray everything. Your pack, your family, your dead mother who was murdered by those animals you claim to love. The words hit like physical blows. My mother told me love was braver than hate, I said, pulling out the locket. She believed there was another way, a better way. And I think... My father ripped the locket from my neck. The chain snapped, and I watched in horror as he threw it across the training ground. Your mother was weak, and weakness got her killed. Just like your weakness will get you killed. Just like your mate will be killed when I find him and tear out his throat for corrupting my daughter. No, I lunged forward, but my father caught me easily. You're confined to your quarters until I decide what to do with you. And if you try to warn him, if you try to run, if you disobey in any way, I'll hunt down every Shadowcrest wolf I can find, and kill them one by one until he reveals himself. Do you understand? I understood. I understood that my father would burn down the world before admitting the feud could end. That his hatred was stronger than his love for me. That I'd miscalculated everything. Yes, sir, I whispered. He released me. Guards, take her to her quarters. She's not to leave under any circumstances. As they dragged me away, I saw my mother's locket lying in the dirt. And I knew everything was about to fall apart. They locked me in my room like a prisoner. 2 guards outside the door. Windows sealed. No way to escape. No way to warn Romeo that my father knew. That he was in danger. That we were both out of time. I paced for hours, my wolf howling inside my head, desperate to get to our mate, to protect him, to run. But there was no way out. That night, Romeo would go to the Twisted Oak at midnight. I wouldn't be there. He'd wait. He'd worry. He'd come looking. And my father's warriors would be waiting to capture him, to torture him. To make an example of him. Unless I could warn him first. I searched my room desperately for anything I could use to escape. Nothing. Just furniture bolted to the floor and windows sealed with Luna Blessed locks I couldn't break. Think, Juliet. Think. The mate bond. I could feel it constantly, that thread of golden light connecting us. Romeo said he felt it too. What if I could send a message through it? What if the bond was more than just feeling? What if it was communication? I'd never tried, never thought to try. But I was out of options. I closed my eyes and focused on the bond, felt for that golden thread, grabbed it mentally and pulled. Romeo. Nothing. Romeo, please hear me. Still nothing. Romeo! This time I felt something. A ripple. Like the bond had carried my voice across the distance between us. Juliet? How are you? His mental voice was shocked, confused. But there. Relief flooded through me. Don't come to the oak tonight. My father knows. He's setting a trap. You have to stay away. What? Juliet, where are you? Locked in my quarters. Romeo, you have to run. Leave Shadowcrest territory. Go somewhere safe. They're going to kill you if they find you. I'm not leaving you. You have to. This is my fault. I couldn't lie well enough. I gave us away. And now my father's going to. The door to my room burst open. My father stood there with four warriors. Who are you talking to? I closed the mental connection immediately. No one. Myself. Liar. He stalked forward. The mate bond lets you communicate. I should have realized. He grabbed my arm, his grip bruising. Tell me his name. Tell me where to find him. Or I'll have my warriors start killing every young Shadowcrest male until he reveals himself to save them. You wouldn't. That would violate the treaty. Start a full war. I don't care. And the terrifying thing was, I could see he meant it. His hatred was so deep, so all-consuming, that he'd burn the entire world to protect it. Give me his name, Juliet. Last chance. I thought about Romeo, about his gentle hands and his desire to heal instead of hurt, about the way he smiled when I said something stubborn, about the future we were supposed to have, and I knew I couldn't give him up. Even if it meant dying myself. No, I said quietly. My father's expression didn't change. Then you leave me no choice. He turned to his warriors. Take her to the dungeon. Interrogation protocols. Don't stop until she talks. Terror flooded through me. Interrogation protocols meant torture. Meant pain designed to break even the strongest wolves. As they dragged me away, I sent one last desperate message through the bond. I love you. I'm sorry. Run. Then they threw me in the dark, and I prayed Romeo was smart enough to save himself, even if it meant I'd never see him again. Chapter 6. The Rescue. Romeo's POV. I love you, I'm sorry. Run. The message came through the mate bond like a knife to the chest. Then nothing. Just silence. The bond still thrummed with life, so Juliet was alive, but I couldn't reach her. Couldn't hear her thoughts. Couldn't feel anything except her terror. They had her. Nightfall Pack had my mate, and they were hurting her. My wolf roared inside my head, desperate to rip apart anyone who dared touch what was ours. But rage wouldn't help Juliet. Rage would get us both killed. I needed a plan. I needed help. I needed Romeo. My father's voice from the doorway. We need to talk. I turned to face Alpha Vincent Shadowcrest. My father. The man who'd raised me to hate Nightfall Wolves with every breath. The man I was about to betray. What is it? I asked, trying to sound normal. There's a situation. Nightfall Pack has requested a meeting. Alpha Herald claims to have captured a Shadowcrest spy who's been feeding us information. His expression was skeptical. I think it's a trap, but we're obligated to attend under treaty law. A spy. That's what they were calling Juliet. When? I asked. Tomorrow at dawn. Neutral ground. My father studied me. You'll come with me, as my heir. It's time you learned how to handle political manipulation. Tomorrow. I had until tomorrow to figure out how to save her. Yes, sir, I said. I spent that night planning, and realizing I couldn't do this alone. So I did something insane. I told the truth. Father, I need to tell you something. It was 3 hours before dawn. My father was in his study, preparing for the meeting. He looked up. What is it? The spy Nightfall captured. It's not a spy, it's... I took a breath. It's my mate. The silence was absolute. Excuse me? Juliet Nightfall, Alpha Herald's daughter. She's my mate. The Moon Goddess chose her for me. And we've been meeting in secret for months because we knew our packs would never allow it. My father's expression went carefully blank. You've been meeting with the enemy, with the daughter of the man who killed your brothers. Yes. And you expect me to help you rescue her? Yes. Why would I do that? Because she's my mate, I said desperately. Because the mate bond is sacred. Because even you, even with all your hatred for Nightfall, you wouldn't want me to lose what the Moon Goddess gave me. Would you? My father was quiet for a long time. Your brothers died because of Nightfall aggression, he said finally. Your mother died from grief because of that loss. I've spent 20 years teaching you to be strong, to never show weakness to our enemies. And now you tell me you've been sleeping with the enemy, betraying everything. I haven't betrayed anything. I've found something worth more than hatred. Something worth fighting for, instead of against. Love, my father said flatly. Yes. Love is weakness, Romeo. It makes you vulnerable, compromised. It gets you killed. Then I'll die, I said. But I won't abandon her. I won't let them torture her for loving me. So you can help me save her, or you can try to stop me. But either way, I'm going to that meeting tomorrow, and I'm bringing her home. My father stared at me like he was seeing me for the first time. You're serious? Yes. You'd start a war over a girl. I'd start a war over my mate. There's a difference. More silence. Then my father did something I'd never seen him do. He smiled. Not a cruel smile. Not a mocking smile. A real smile that held something like pride? You're braver than I thought, he said quietly. Braver than I ever was. I loved your mother, but I never would have fought for her the way you're willing to fight for Juliet. I let duty and hatred make me hard, make me cruel, and it killed her as surely as grief did. He stood. So yes, I'll help you. Not because I forgive Nightfall, not because the feud is over, but because you're my son, and you deserve the chance I never took. I stared at him in shock. Really? Really. Now let's plan a rescue. We have 3 hours. Chapter 7. The Dawn Meeting, Juliet's POV. They'd kept me in the dungeon all night. No torture yet, just questions. Over and over. Who was he? Where was he? How long had this been going on? I'd said nothing, but I was breaking. Every minute apart from Romeo, every hour of my father's cold fury, every threat they made was wearing me down. By dawn, I was exhausted, terrified, ready to confess everything just to make it stop. That's when they came for me. Get up, my father commanded. We're going to end this. They dragged me out of the dungeon into the morning light. I squinted against the sun, my eyes adjusting slowly. We were in neutral ground, the same clearing where the peace talks happened. Both packs were assembling, Nightfall on one side, Shadowcrest on the other. In the center stood two alphas, my father and Romeo's father.
"Is this the spy?" Alpha Vincent asked, his voice neutral. "This is my daughter," my father said coldly, "who's been betraying her pack, meeting with your son in secret, playing at romance while real wolves died for our cause." I saw Romeo then, standing behind his father. Our eyes met, and I felt the mate bond flare with his relief that I was alive. "Don't," I tried to send through the bond. "Don't reveal yourself. Let me take the punishment. Please." "No," he sent back. "Never." "Romeo has confessed everything," Alpha Vincent said, and my heart stopped. How he met Juliet at the spring market, how they've been meeting at the border, how they discovered their mates.
"So you agree she should be executed for treason?" my father said.
"No,"
everyone froze.
"What?"
my father demanded.
"I said no," Alpha Vincent stepped forward. "My son tells me that he and your daughter are true mates, chosen by the moon goddess herself. That bond is sacred. More sacred than our feud. More sacred than politics or pride or any of the reasons we've been killing each other for 70 years.
"The mate bond doesn't excuse treason.
It excuses everything," Alpha Vincent interrupted. "Or have you forgotten our laws? The old laws that existed before this feud? True mates cannot be separated. True mates cannot be punished for choosing each other. True mates are blessed by the moon goddess, and to interfere is to blaspheme against her." My father's expression was murderous. "You expect me to allow my daughter to mate with a Shadowcrest wolf? To continue this betrayal?"
"I expect you to honor laws older than your hatred," Alpha Vincent said calmly. "But more than that, I'm offering you an opportunity."
"What opportunity?"
"To end this. The feud, the war, all of it." Alpha Vincent gestured between Romeo and me. "Your daughter and my son are proof that the moon goddess wants peace, that she's chosen to bind our families together. We can honor that choice and use it to build a new future. Or we can kill two innocent wolves and continue bleeding for another 70 years. Your choice, Harold." The clearing was silent. Every wolf watching, waiting. My father looked at me, really looked at me for the first time since discovering my secret. I didn't beg, didn't plead, just met his eyes and let him see the truth. That I loved Romeo more than I feared death. That I'd rather die than give him up. That I was my mother's daughter. And love was braver than hate. "She's weak," my father said finally, "like her mother, choosing love over duty." "Her mother chose you," I said quietly. "She loved you despite your cruelty, despite your obsession with revenge, despite everything. And you loved her back. Or have you forgotten what that feels like?" Something flickered across his face. Pain, memory, grief. "Don't speak of your mother." "Why not?
She's the reason I know love is possible even in darkness. She's the reason I know choosing compassion over hatred isn't weakness. It's strength. And she told me," I touched the spot where my locket used to be, "she told me that love is braver than hate. I'm just finally brave enough to believe her." Silence. Then my father said the last thing I expected. "Show me."
"What?"
"Show me that this isn't manipulation, isn't a trick. Prove that what you feel for each other is real, that it's worth destroying everything I've built." Romeo stepped forward immediately, How? The mate bond ceremony, Alpha Vincent said. It's ancient, binding. If they complete it successfully, their bond will be visible to all of us. Undeniable. Even Harold couldn't deny the moon goddess's will at that point. And if we do this? Romeo asked. Then we negotiate peace, Alpha Vincent said, using your bond as the foundation. The joining of our heirs becomes the joining of our pacts. We end the feud with a union instead of more death. My father's jaw was clenched so tight I thought it might break. But finally, agreed. They have one chance. If the ceremony fails, if the bond isn't true, she dies for treason. Both of them. Acceptable, Alpha Vincent said. They were gambling with our lives, using us as pawns in their political game. But I didn't care, because Romeo was walking toward me. Because our fathers had just given us permission to be together. Because we had a chance. Just one chance. And we weren't going to waste it. Chapter 8. The Bond. The mate bond ceremony was ancient. Older than pacts. Older than territories. Older than feuds. It required three things. Truth, trust, and transformation. A massive circle had been drawn in the center of the clearing. Romeo and I stood inside it, facing each other, while both packs watched from the edges. An elder from a neutral pack began the ritual. You stand before the moon goddess and your people to claim your mate bond. This ceremony will test the truth of your connection. If your bond is real, the moon goddess will bless it. If it's false, she'll reject it. And rejection means death. No pressure. Romeo Shadowcrest, the elder intoned. Speak your truth. Romeo took my hands. His touch was steady despite the danger. Despite everything. Juliet Nightfall is my true mate. I knew it the moment I saw her. And every day since, I've loved her more. She's brave and kind and stubborn and everything I never knew I needed. She makes me want to be better. To build instead of destroy. To heal instead of hurt. I choose her. Now and always. In this life, and whatever comes after. The bond between us flared gold, visible now, glowing bright enough that everyone could see it. Gasps rippled through the crowd. Juliet Nightfall, the elder said. Speak your truth. I looked at Romeo. At this impossible boy who'd risked everything for me. Who'd broken his ribs to protect our secret. Who'd confessed to his father rather than let me face this alone. Romeo Shadowcrest is my true mate. And for months, I tried to pretend that wasn't terrifying. Because loving him meant choosing him over my pack. Over my father's approval. Over everything I'd been taught to believe. But the truth is... My voice cracked. The truth is that Romeo makes me brave enough to be myself. To admit that I don't want to be a warrior. That I don't want to continue cycles of hatred. That I want to build a world where wolves can love each other without war. He's my mate, my partner, my choice. And I'll choose him every time. Even when it's hard. Even when it's dangerous. Even when it costs me everything. The bond blazed brighter. The gold light was so intense now, it hurt to look at. The moon goddess has confirmed your truth, the elder said. Now you must trust. This was the hard part. You will shift and hunt together. If you can move as one wolf, if your bond is strong enough to merge your consciousness, the ceremony succeeds. If you cannot, the moon goddess has rejected your claim. Romeo and I had never hunted together, never even shifted around each other. We had no idea if this would work. But we were out of options. Together, Romeo said. Together, I agreed. We shifted. The transformation was familiar now.
bones breaking and reforming, fur erupting, senses sharpening. But this time, something else happened. As my wolf took form, I felt Romeo's consciousness slide in beside mine. Not controlling, not dominant, just there, present, whole. Our wolves recognized each other instantly. "Mate," they said in unison. "Ours." And then we were moving, running as one entity with two bodies. Romeo's wolf was dark as midnight. Mine was silver as moonlight. We circled each other, learning rhythm, learning trust. Then the elder released a deer into the circle. "Hunt," she commanded. We moved without planning, without discussion. We just knew. Romeo's wolf drove the deer left. Mine cut off its escape. We worked in perfect synchronization. No hesitation, no miscommunication, just instinctive partnership. The hunt lasted less than 5 minutes. We brought down the deer together, our wolves pressed side by side. Our minds merged so completely I couldn't tell where Romeo ended, and I began. The crowd erupted in shocked whispers. "The bond is true," the elder pronounced. "The moon goddess has blessed their union." We shifted back to human form, breathing hard, dizzy from the connection. The golden light of the mate bond still shimmered between us, visible to everyone. Undeniable. My father was staring at us with an expression I couldn't read. Shock? Anger? Grief? Finally, he said, "The moon goddess has spoken. I cannot deny her will." "Does this mean..." I started. "It means you live," my father said heavily. "And it means..." He looked at Alpha Vincent. "We negotiate. For real this time. No more killing. No more revenge. We find a way to coexist." Alpha Vincent nodded. "Agreed." Romeo pulled me close, and I buried my face in his shoulder, shaking with relief and exhaustion, and the realization that we'd survived. We'd actually survived. "We did it," Romeo whispered. "We actually did it." "We did it," I agreed. But the cost was still being counted. Chapter 9, The Price of Peace. 6 months later, peace was harder than war. That's what no one tells you. That ending a 70-year feud doesn't magically make people forget their hatred. Doesn't erase the scars. Doesn't bring back the dead. The first 3 months after the ceremony were chaos. Both packs had wolves who refused to accept the peace. Who saw Romeo and my union as betrayal instead of hope. Who'd lost too much to Shadowcrest or Nightfall Wolves to forgive. There were assassination attempts. 3 on me, 2 on Romeo, 1 on both our fathers. We survived them all. Barely. But we learned something important. Changing the world is dangerous work. My father and I barely spoke those first months. He'd agreed to the peace because the moon goddess demanded it. Because rejecting a true mate bond would have branded him a blasphemer. Because Alpha Vincent had outmaneuvered him politically. But he hadn't forgiven me. Hadn't accepted that I chose love over loyalty to his hatred. Every time he looked at me, I saw disappointment. Grief. The ghost of the daughter he'd wanted me to be. It hurt more than any physical wound. Romeo's family was different. His father accepted our bond immediately. Not just politically, but personally. He welcomed me into Shadowcrest territory, called me daughter, helped me navigate the complicated politics of being mated to the heir of a former enemy pack. "My son chose well," Alpha Vincent told me one evening. "You're stronger than Harold realizes. Braver, too. You remind me of your mother." "You knew my mother?" "Briefly, before the feud destroyed everything. She was kind. Wise. She wanted peace even then." He smiled sadly. "If she'd lived,
Maybe all this bloodshed could have been avoided. But grief makes fools of good men, makes them choose vengeance over healing. Your father loved her so much that losing her broke him, made him cruel because cruelty felt safer than vulnerability. "Does he hate me?" I asked quietly. "For reminding him of her?" "No. He hates himself for failing to be the man she believed he could be. You're just the mirror showing him that failure. And it's easier to blame the mirror than face the reflection." 1 year later, my 18th birthday fell on a full moon. Romeo and I had been mated for a year, living between territories, learning to lead together, working to build the peace our bond had started. It was exhausting, frustrating, dangerous. It was also the most meaningful thing I'd ever done. That night, both packs gathered for a joint celebration, something that would have been unthinkable 2 years ago. Nightfall and Shadowcrest wolves eating together, laughing together, existing in the same space without violence. It wasn't perfect. There were still tensions, still wolves who couldn't let go of old hatred. But it was progress. As I stood there watching our packs interact, I felt someone approach from behind. Juliet. My father's voice. We hadn't spoken privately in months. I turned to face him. "Father?" He looked older than I remembered. More tired. Like the weight of 70 years of violence had finally caught up to him. "I owe you an apology," he said. I blinked. "What?" "I said I owe you an apology. For..." He gestured vaguely. "Everything. For teaching you to hate. For refusing to see that love wasn't weakness. For being so consumed by grief and rage that I couldn't see what I was becoming. Father, let me finish." He pulled something from his pocket. My mother's locket. The one he'd ripped from my neck a year ago. "Your mother gave this to you because she believed in love. Believed it could change things. Believed it was braver than hate. And I..." His voice cracked. "I thought she was naive. Thought her softness was weakness. Thought I was honoring her memory by making you hard. Making you cruel. Making you like me." He pressed the locket into my palm. The chain had been repaired. But watching you this year, watching you build peace instead of continuing war, watching you choose compassion over vengeance, watching you be exactly what your mother hoped you'd be, I realized I was wrong. About everything. You're not weak, Juliet. You're stronger than I ever was. Because you had the courage to love when the world told you to hate. And that..." He smiled sadly. "That's the bravest thing anyone can do." Tears burned in my eyes. "I forgive you," I whispered. "For all of it. You shouldn't. I don't deserve..." "Love isn't about deserving," I interrupted. "It's about choosing. And I choose to forgive you. I choose to believe you can change. I choose to give you the same chance Romeo's father gave me. Because that's what my mother would have wanted." My father pulled me into a hug. The first real hug he'd given me since my mother died. And I felt something in my chest that had been broken for years finally begin to heal. "I'm proud of you," he said. "I should have said that a long time ago. But I'm saying it now. I'm proud of who you've become. Who you chose to be despite everything I tried to make you." "Thank you," I whispered into his shoulder. "That means everything." 5 years later, I was 23 when the real change came. Romeo and I had spent 5 years building the peace our bond started, creating systems where Nightfall and Shadowcrest could cooperate instead of compete, establishing joint territories, training programs that mixed pack wolves together. It was slow work, frustrating work. Some days it felt impossible, but little by little, the world was changing. On the 5th anniversary of our mating ceremony, we called a gathering of both packs. 5 years ago, I addressed the assembled wolves. Romeo and I were enemies. We were supposed to hate each other, kill each other, continue a cycle of violence that had already claimed hundreds of lives. But we chose differently. We chose love. We chose trust. We chose to believe that the moon goddess's wisdom was greater than our ancestors' mistakes. Romeo stepped forward beside me, and that choice changed everything. It ended a 70-year war. It proved that wolves from different packs could work together, that we're stronger united than divided, that love really is braver than hate. "But we didn't do this alone," I continued. "Every wolf here who chose to give peace a chance, who chose to set aside old grudges, who chose to believe in something better, you're the ones who made this possible. You're the heroes of this story." Alpha Vincent and my father stood together at the front of the crowd. Former enemies, now allies. Proof that change was possible even for the most hardened hearts. "Today," my father announced, "we form a permanent alliance and open all territories between Nightfall and Shadowcrest packs. From this day forward, we will live as one united pack. One family." The crowd erupted in cheers. 5 years ago, that announcement would have caused riots. Now? Now it felt like coming home. 10 years later, I was 28 when our daughter was born. She came into the world screaming, her tiny fists waving, her eyes already showing hints of amber and green. Romeo's gold and my green mixed together perfectly. "She's perfect," Romeo whispered, cradling her carefully. "She's absolutely perfect." "What should we name her?" I asked. We'd discussed this, had a list of names we both liked. But now, looking at our daughter's face, only one felt right. "Hope," I said. "Her name is Hope." Romeo smiled through tears. "Hope, yes. Perfect. Because that's what she represented. Proof that Nightfall and Shadowcrest could create something beautiful together. That love could triumph over generations of hatred. That the future didn't have to repeat the past." My father was the first to visit. He looked at his granddaughter with an expression of pure wonder. "She's beautiful," he said softly. "She looks like your mother." "I hope she has her spirit too," I said. "She will. Because you're raising her. And you're..." He paused, choosing his words carefully. "You're the person your mother always hoped you'd be. Strong and kind and brave enough to love in a world that taught you to hate." He pulled out a small box. Inside was a silver bracelet engraved with words I recognized. "Love is braver than hate. For hope," my father said. "So she never forgets what her mother did, what her grandmothers believed. That love can change the world if we're brave enough to let it." Epilogue. The girl who chose love. 20 years later. I'm 48 years old now. Romeo and I have 3 children. Hope is 20. Strong and fierce and training to lead the united pack we built. Our sons, Harold and Vincent, named after our fathers, are 17 and 15. They've never known war. Never known what it's like to hate someone for their pack. They've only known peace. My father died 2 years ago, when I was 46. Old age and a lifetime of carrying grief. But before he died, he pulled me aside and said something I'll never forget. "I wasted 30 years hating wolves I didn't know. Teaching my daughter to hate, building walls instead of bridges. But you," he smiled, "you tore down every wall I built. And you built something beautiful in its place. Thank you for being brave enough to be yourself. For choosing love when I chose hate. For saving us all." Those were his last words to me, and they healed every wound he'd ever inflicted. Today, I'm standing at the twisted oak tree, the same tree where Romeo and I used to meet in secret, where we'd risk death just to see each other, where we'd plan an impossible future that somehow became real. The tree is fully healed now. The lightning split has closed, both halves growing together into one strong trunk. Kind of like us. Romeo finds me there, wrapping his arms around me from behind. "What are you thinking about?" he asks. "How lucky we are. How easily this could have gone differently. How many moments we almost lost each other." "But we didn't," he says gently. "We survived. We built something beautiful. We changed the world." "We did, didn't we?" "We did." I turn in his arms to face him. After 20 years of mating, he's still the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Still makes my heart race. Still feels like home. "I love you," I tell him. "I'll love you forever. In this life and whatever comes after." "I love you too," he says. "My mate, my partner, my Juliet." He kisses me under the twisted oak tree, and I taste hope and joy and the promise of tomorrow. Because we didn't just survive our story. We transformed it. Took a tragedy and turned it into triumph. Took hatred and turned it into healing. Took death and turned it into life. And maybe that's what real love does. Not the easy kind. Not the comfortable kind. But the brave kind. The kind that looks at impossible odds and says, "I choose you anyway." The kind that changes the world. I was 6 years old when I first learned what hatred looked like. I was 17 when I learned what love looked like. And I spent the rest of my life proving that my mother was right. Love is braver than hate. Always. The end for everyone who's ever loved when the world told them to hate. For everyone who's ever chosen peace when war was easier. For everyone who's ever been brave enough to be soft in a hard world. This story is for you.